السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome back to Radio Islam International on this Sunday afternoon. Time right now is 2:02, and we are here at Kimberley. Myself, Suhaib Lasania, and with me I have the engineer, Brother Ibrahim Shah, who's inshallah will be broadcasting this program. In the morning, we started around 9 a.m. with the speech contest. We are broadcasting the 5th annual Northwest Free State and Northern Cape Islamiyat speech contest from Kimberley. It's hosted by Kimberley Islamic School as well as Madrasa Miftahul Ulum in Kimberley. And earlier on, we had about 4 grades that took part already. We just have 2 more categories and 2 more grades left. That's grade 6 and grade 7 left, and thereafter will be awards and merits that will be given out. And what the different schools and numerous schools that participated on the speech contest was Al-Huda Muslim School from Klagsdorp, Madrasa Islamia Freiburg, Madrasa Islamia Kronstadt, the Velcom Muslim School, Kimberley Islamic School, Madrasa Miftahul Ulum, Madrasa Ansarul Islam, Madrasa Jamia Islamia, Nurul Iman Muslim School, Madrasa Arabia Islamia, and Darul Arkam in Lichtenberg. These are the participating schools as well as Madrasa. There were approximately 65 students. 65 students will be saying their speeches. We are done. We are past halfway mark already. And we just have 2 more grades left, grade 6 and grade 7. And inshallah, thereafter will be the awards. So welcome back to the second session of our speech contest, the 5th annual Islamic speech contest. And inshallah, we can now go for our sponsors. And thereafter, the next program will be taking place. The next program on our agenda is Nasheed by KI School. And Qamarun, the name of the Nizam, or Nasheed will be Qamarun, will be recited by the students. So I will go back to our Lanija studios, and we play our sponsors thereafter. Inshallah, we'll be joined with Nasheed by KI School. Stay tuned.
That we will practice, we will visit the masjid more often. There's some change that we need to go with. Otherwise, it will be just that we have done a certain amount of kilometers, sat and went away. But that's not the case, and that's not the object of this, and the reason of this speech contest. But it is that we enhance and empower ourselves with some jewels that the luminaries and flowers have shared with us, and that we can bring it in our lives, take it home with us, pass it on to others, and make our environment a dini environment. And by doing so, we will be bringing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because definitely, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Whatever situation we find ourselves in today is because of our own earnings and our own doings. So if we will take back something and try and emulate that beautiful lifestyle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those beautiful teachings that is demanded from us and every believer, then definitely we'll be paving our way towards a beautiful dini environment. For commencing this program, we have a nasheed from Kimberley Muslim School, a group called the Qamarun, who will be delivering a nasheed for us, and we call them on stage, inshallah.
والجمل منك لم ترى كالطائر وأطيب منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرعا من كل عيب كأن قد حلكت كما تشاء قمرون 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 سيدنا النبي قمرون وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل قمرون قمرون قمر سيدنا النبي قمرون وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل
وكفو المصطفى كالورتينان
الله الله
وعطر بيبقى إذا ما استدعاياتي
الله الله
وكفو المصطفى كالورتينان
الله الله
وعطر بيبقى إذا ما استدعاياتي
الله الله
وعم لوالوها كل العباد
وعم لوالوها كل العباد وعم لوالوها كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرى يا قمرون قمرون قمر سيدنا النبي قمرون وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل
وكف المصطفى كالورتينان
الله الله
وعطر بيبقى إذا ما استدعاياتي
الله الله
وكف المصطفى كالورتينان
الله الله
وعطر بيبقى إذا ما استدعاياتي
الله الله
وعم لوالوها كل العباد
وعم لوالوها كل العباد وعم لوالوها كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرى.
Sedges, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedges, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Al-Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects, namely building of masajid, madaris, schools and dawah programs for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lilla, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Lanesia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
The South African National Quran Council announces the commencement of the 11th Regional Quran Memorization Competition,
1437. متصدعا من خشية الله.
Registration is now open for both the male and inaugural female competitions. Western Cape, 2nd of April. Mpumalanga, 9th of April. Eastern Cape and Limpopo, 16th of April. South KZN, 23rd of April. North KZN, 24th of April. Northwest, 14th of May. Gauteng, Free State and Northern Cape, 21st of May. Visit alquran.co.za for more information and online registration. This event is sponsored by Motley Car Holdings, Sedgar's Home, Calstar Group, Premier Rentals and Logistics, Four Arrows, Fouché Motors Vereeniging, Neon Printers and Creative Curve. The SANQC's 11th Regional Quran Memorization Competition, 1437.
As you journey through life, you may encounter some sudden and unexpected bends in the road. They may not always be avoidable, but when it comes to your BMW, you can ensure that their effect doesn't leave a permanent mark. At Valridge Auto, our approved repair center repairs vehicles to the most stringent BMW standards and adheres to comprehensive safety regulations, giving you complete peace of mind. Keep your BMW in mint condition. Contact Valridge Auto in Duncanville on 016-450-5500.
You're listening to Radio Islam, medium wave, 1548.
Sitting unconscious, I lay on the floor of a small room. My eyes finally open. What is your name? Who are you? Are you a terrorist? I asked myself, why do they think I am a terrorist? It seems I am judged before my actions are seen. It seems I am profiled just because I have a beard, kurta, and topi. My beloved brothers and sisters, I stand before you today where terrorism is a major threat to world peace. The bombings in London and Madrid, as well as the massacres of entire villages all over the world. Unfortunately, the actions of Muslim individuals or groups are used as a yardstick by which Islam is judged. The media is at the forefront, wanting everyone to believe their version of the truth. What propaganda? Is Christianity blamed for the killing of Native Americans and the atrocities of World War II? Likewise, is Judaism blamed for the killing of Palestinians? We must understand Islam's stance on terrorism through the Quran and the Sunnah and act accordingly. The glorious Quran says, "And do not murder a soul which Allah has forbidden, except with right Sharia reason. Such is the value of a single human life that killing one innocent person is like killing all of humanity. Terrorizing the civilian population, whether by individuals, groups, or by states, can never be reconciled with the teachings of Islam. Mercy is at the heart of the Islamic call. We sent thee, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a mercy for the people. A totally different message to what the terrorists are sadly imparting to humanity. Remember, when our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was badly beaten by the people of Ta'if, did he retaliate with violence? No. Instead, he made dua for their guidance. Alhamdulillah. Thus, how can a faith that has over 1.4 billion followers actually be called terrorist? How can Islam, whose name itself stands for peace and submission to Allah, encourage its followers to sow violence across the earth? Do not judge me in a biased manner because you must understand my religion and my appearance. Terrorists do not fit any stereotype. Through our actions, the non-Muslims will realize the truth. Far from being a religion of violence, Islam is a way of life that transcends all barriers and brings about eternal peace and security. Now you will understand what I told the security officer that day in London. My name is Muhammad Yasin Sufi. I am a Muslim, but not a terrorist. Jazakallah.
MashaAllah, that was the voice of Muhammad Yasin Sufi from Madrasa Jamia Islamia Mafeking. Your private life is your business. You might be living in a fool's paradise because Allah knows everything about you. Next up, we have Shaheen Muhammad, and his topic will be social media and Islam. And he hails from Madrasa Miftahul Ulum, Kimberley.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My topic today will be about social media in Islam. If we take a look at the definition of social media, we will find that it is the interaction of which we share and exchange information. If we take a look at Islam, Islam appreciates and welcomes all forms of advancements, as long as it does not go against the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what Allah ta'ala has revealed. For the first time in Islamic history, Islamic knowledge has become extremely accessible. Many regular updated Twitter accounts with Islamic reminders answer readers' questions to reliable Islamic sources. The young generations of Muslims should feel privileged comparison to their parents who did not have the same access to social media and should be better educated about their faith. Despite the constant negative headlines, the endless crusade against the Islamic religion and the threat of social media, Islam is actually one of the greatest success stories of all time. We as Muslims, our mission is to convey the beautiful message of Islam. In the old generations, many Muslims conveyed messages by writing poems, memorizing everything, and passing the knowledge on. In America, through social media, they have showed Muslims in a bad light, so we as Muslims have a chance to change their perception on us. Technology has become so advanced these days that most of us have become social media orphans. What is social media orphans, you ask? The answer is, mom busy with her phone, dad busy with his phone, kids are busy with their phones. What message is that conveying? Nothing, except we two giving out our family the attention is more Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, etc. Being social has different meanings in Islam. Socialize as a congregation, interact more, go visit the elderly sick, so do not send messages. So my message is to use social media with the intent to help our fellow Muslims spread the word of Islam. Do not use it as a weapon of hatred. Rather, let us create peace across the globe. In my conclusion, I found that it does not matter what S5, S6, iPhone or iPad you have. The message is clear. Use social media with the intent to help our fellow Muslims. The message is clear. Do not be conned by media. Let's make sure we love as Muslims and use it. Insha'Allah, for the best to spread peace and goodness across the globe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all, including myself, the tawfiq and the deeper understanding of which was said. Ma alayna illa al-balagh. Jazakumullahu khair.
MashaAllah, that was the voice of Shaheen Muhammad from the host city, Kimberley. Words are like bees. They have honey and a sting. Avoid the sting and spread the sweetness of honey. As a famous saying goes, "An-ni'matu idha fuqidat 'urifat." When a certain ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lost, then only you start valuing it. Next up we have Zahra Nakhuda from Al-Huda Muslim School, Klerksdorp. And her topic will be, "My mom say no most of the time."
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mom, can I have a birthday party? No. Mom, can I please go out tonight with my friends to the movies? What? No. Ugh, always no, no, and no. I would like to know, does Mom even know how it feels to hear the word no all the time? Well, I have thought about it and said, enough is enough. I love and respect my mother, but seriously, birthdays, movies, going out with a friend, that's a bit too much. So I decided to speak to her and had a mother and daughter talk. After that, it makes so much more sense now. My mom knows what's best for me. She has seen life for a much longer period than I have, so she knows what's best for me. My mom loves me a lot, and if she didn't, she would have neglected me, and who knows where I'll end up. So yes, I don't like it when my mom says no most of the time, but in the end of the day, I'm happy that she does, 'cause she knows what's best for me. She explained to me the religious benefits as a woman and also explained to me how sacred and important it is to be safe as a woman, especially in today's times. It sounds unfair, it sounds like a big prison, but it actually is a fantastic gift passed on from mother to child that safeguards us from all the bad out there. Jannah lies under the feet of our mothers, and the key to Jannah is respecting, obeying, and honoring our mothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have placed Jannah under our mother's feet for no reason. This teaches us the importance of listening to our mothers and accepting that terrible word, no, that we do not like to hear, because her no means my safety and happiness for the future days to come in this dunya and akhirah. And come to think of it, the amount of times she told me yes outweighs by the amount of times my mother told me no. Which makes me realize I'm a cute, spoiled little brat who gets what I want when my mom knows it is best for me. So I'd like to end my speech with a short saying. To my mother, may every tear that has ever fallen from your tired eyes on my behalf become a river for you in Jannah. Jazakumullahu khair.
MashaAllah, that was the voice of Zahra Nakhuda from Al-Huda Muslim School, Clarksdorp. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, اِتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Fear all those things which Allah has prohibited us, made unlawful for us, and you will become the greatest worshipper. Next up we have Hasma Ahmed from Madrasa Islamia Lichtenberg, and the topic will be social media and Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My topic for today is about social media and Islam. The new generation is filled with an amazing gadget, making it easier for us to communicate with our friends and families anywhere in the world. Social media has both a negative and a positive effect on us. Social media can help you be yourself and invoke confidence to those who need it. This is because you do not have to face a personal intimate and criticism, because you do not have to see anyone who may be critical about you. Written comments can inspire help and debate as you have time to compose yourself. Whereas people criticizing you in a way can be difficult, cause you to panic and cause you to be defensive. Everyone in the world deserves to have confidence in themselves.
and they believe and networking can help them inspire and educate people in this. Social media is a gift. It is used to make or break a person. It's also used to make or break a business. The truth is the moral problem about freedom and expression in real life and can now be applied to the visual world. Whether we like it or not, or agree with it, it's liberal enough for a person to be good, to find himself. It is also liberal enough to provide a soapbox for less appropriate and beliefs. Don't believe everything you see or read in the media. Today, Muslims are seen as terrorists and murderers because of the simplest way we dress. As Muslims, we need to be alert about everything that goes around us. The kuffar will not stop until they succeed. It is up to us to stop all the falsehood they post about Islam. It is now easier for us to share the hadith, du'as and qira'ats through social media. We can easily download Quran recitation and learn from it. Mullahs and sheikhs now make use of the social media to convey the word of Islam. The youth of today spend 80% of their time browsing the net, downloading what's new, or perhaps socializing. Everything has to have a disadvantage or two. How authentic are the hadiths we find on internet? Due to social media, the enemies of Islam take advantage of exploding Islam. We need to be careful and protect our deen. The kuffar use the social media to convey the word of Islam. Let us make good use of the social media by supporting it, caring and reciting the Quran more than reading the messages that just beeped on WhatsApp. Jazakumullahu khairan.
MashaAllah, that was the voice of Hasma Ahmed from Madrasa Islamia, Lichtenberg. Next up we have Arifa Mangera from Madrasa Islamia, Kronstadt, and her topic is Sunnah in Today's Time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The 21st century is an era of glitz, glamour, fashion, name and fame. Muslims have adopted the culture of the West, including the custom of old age homes our elders, daycare centers our little ones, and shopping malls our youth. Once they have all been catered for in the designated venues, we then continue to tackle the more important things in life, accumulating wealth. Why? So as to live in fairy tale homes, go on dream holidays, drive top-notch vehicles, and simply spend according to our own discretion. Where is the sunnah in today's time? While we are trying to buy the world, the time glass of our elders run dry. Our little ones are reared by disbelievers, and our youth are selling their iman. Realization needs to sink in. Let us stop and ponder as to how we have faltered and what is the solution. It is quite simple. Success lies in obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It is the way and manner in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his life. The way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, ate, slept. The manner in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with people, treated his wives, etc. Every aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a source of guidance and goodness for us. The story of Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha, the foster mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is well known. She herself had narrated that the moment she lifted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into her arms, such blessings poured into their lives, into their home, into their time, into their animals, into their food, blessings in everything. Barakatum min as-samaa'i wal-ard, blessings from the heavens and the earth. If so much barakah came with just lifting and carrying the physical body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what if we were to implement the teachings and character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If we bring into our lives this beautiful sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the one who obeys him and loves him will be with him in Jannah. May Allah bless us all with the ability to practice on this beautiful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to be in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's company in Jannah. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, that was the voice of Arifa Mangera from Madrasa Islamia Kronstadt. Next up we have Suhail Jasad, all the way from the Platinum Province, Nurul Iman Muslim School, Rustenburg, and his topic will be social media and Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My respected ulama, ustaz and parents. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Social media and Islam. Everything that happens in your life, you take a nice picture of it and push it up online. Doesn't happen nowadays? Watch out. Be careful. People are suffering and struggling. Why? Ainul Haq. You need to know this. The evil eye is the truth. The hadith says, you are inviting people to have the evil eye on you. Look what I ate. I have seen profiles every meal they change the picture. Why? Because I had turkey. Wow. Did you have turkey? They say, I had this lasagna, and I had this and that. The juice I had and the drink I had, and this is where I went, and this is the hotel I stayed in, and this is how beautiful this was. Every single thing and every single while, you dress your child and the picture is up. You dress another child and the picture is up. Wallahi, there is a lesson. Go back to Surah Yusuf. There are two times that we learn a lesson in this surah in this regard. One was when the brothers were all entering into that particular palace. The father says, enter separately. And one of the reasons mentioned in the books of Tafsir is so that the people's eye does not catch you at all and does not affect you with the evil eye. That was one of the lessons that we learned. And here as well, the father says, do not relate this dream to your brothers. Why? Because they made plot against you. Out of what? It is clear, out of jealousy. And the hadith says something to this effect. Indeed, jealousy would eat away at your good deeds in the same way fire would eat a dry log. And we know this, my brothers and sisters. Think for a moment before you upload your pictures and before you actually put your food and everything else. We are not saying you should completely divorce yourself from technology, but what we are saying is make good use of it. Make the best use of it, but do not use it to destroy your own self. You send 1, 2, 3, maybe even 10 pictures, and some people who see it are wishing for it all their lives, working towards it, working towards it. And you have it with so much of ease, do you think they will be able to digest it? There will come a stage in their lives where they will start feeling something towards you. Look at this person. They have heaven and earth, and they don't know the problems they have in this dunya. Imagine if you were to put up profiles about every bad thing that happens in our lives. We will be living in gloom and doom. But man is such by nature, he wants a good pick of himself out. He wants a good pick of himself. Everybody wants a good pick of themselves out. So there is no harm in portraying that good image, but it does not need to be the finer details of your life. Leave that between your loved ones and those who share it. And once in a while, you may want to share that selected few. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a power and a beautiful lesson. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, that was Suhail Jasad from Nurul Iman Muslim School, Rustenburg. An-ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat. In another saying, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ad-dunya khuliqat lakum wa antum khuliqtum lil-akhirah. This world has been created for you, but you have been created to use all the opportunities Allah gave you in this world to make your akhirat. Next up we have Farhana Aziz from Madrasa Islamia Freiburg. And her topic will be, the dunya is an open book test and I will pass it by.
Are you pleased with the life of this world rather than the year after? But little is the enjoyment of the life of this world compared to the year after. I quote Surah Tabarak, verse 1 and 2. Tabarak alladhi bi yadil mulku wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu wa ma ayyukum ahsanu wa ma amalu. Amala wa ma amala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Respected elders and peers, this verse from the Quran tells us that this world is just a temporary one, a way leading to our eternal abode, the Akhirah. Allah the All-Knowing has clearly put the matter regarding the year after in perspective for us to ponder over and reflect. He cautions us to not get carried away by the charms of this life, because in comparison with the year after, this life is quite a limited span, and as we go through facing life's challenges as well as its attractions, we should always be wary of not having our minds fall prey to man-made philosophies, but rather should adhere to the straight path chalked out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also referred as Siratul Mustaqim in Surah Al-Fatiha. This world, compared to the Akhirah, is like the womb of a mother. For as long as the baby remains in the womb, it considers the womb to be everything. If the baby is told to leave the narrow confines of the womb and enter the spacious world, it will not believe and will still consider the womb to be everything. Eventually, when the baby does emerge from the womb, it now sees the world and realizes that the womb is insignificant compared to the world. If the baby is told to re-enter the womb, it will refuse and never go back. In the same way, this world, compared to the Akhirah, is absolutely narrow and confined. When a person departs from this world, he will express shukr and never wish to return. There's something amazing about this life. The very same worldly attribute that causes us pain is also what gives us relief. Nothing here lasts. Pain, anger, and disappointments of this world are all just temporary. Just as life doesn't last forever, the suffering of people don't last forever as well. Many forget that we have to leave everything behind us when we die, and they neglect family and friends to attain these worldly riches. Instead, we should be focusing on building our homes in Jannah. The good we do in this world is the only thing which accompanies us in the Akhirah, no matter how insignificant it seems should be neglected. There are many easy ways to accumulate sawab, charity, helping people and animals, or even a simple smile. We can lead fulfilling lives by bringing more Islam into our lives. For example, by being thankful to Allah for His blessings and showing gratitude to people as well from what we get from them. Earn our livelihood through lawful means and so on. Let's remember that when we live our lives according to what Islam teaches us, we not only live fulfilling lives, we are also pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus contributing towards status that will count in the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy exceeds His wrath, so by being good, we go closer to Jannah. Remember, this dunya is an open book test and we are all passing by. Jazakallah.
MashaAllah, that was the voice of Rana Aziz from Madrasa Islamia Freiburg. Just a request again from the bottom of our heart. All our men that are sitting on top, can you please come down? Sit on the chairs. May Allah reward you for your patience. Jazakallah. Please come down to the chairs at the bottom. Jazakallah. Next up, we have Saad Waleed from Kimberley Islamic School, and he will be enlightening us on freedom will come.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Freedom will come. Freedom is a right of every human being. Freedom is something which we take for granted as being born in a free country. People of South Africa gained freedom just a few years ago after many years of struggle, sufferings, and injustice. Islam is based on 5 pillars. This constitutes the success of a Muslim in this world as well as the year after. Similarly, thus the democracy of our country is built on 3 pillars. Freedom, equality, and responsibility. Today, in our democratic country, we have freedom of speech, freedom of education, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, and freedom to vote without any fear or prejudice. Yet we South Africans should not forget what the late President Nelson Mandela said. Our freedom is incomplete till the freedom of Palestine. What he meant was that our freedom will be short-lived if we do not raise our voices and make effort for the other nations fighting for freedom. We have to defeat injustice. Otherwise, it will take over our land again. Palestine and Kashmir will be free when Allah's help will come. And Allah's help comes when we are good Muslims in our speech and action. Freedom will come when we will study hard, work honestly, and have faith in Allah. Freedom will come when Muslim Ummah will become like one body again, when the hand or foot pains, the entire body feels it. So when the people of Iraq, Syria, Palestine, or Kashmir suffer, we feel the same pain and our hands lift up in dua and our hearts open up in helping them. Freedom will come when their pain will become my pain. Freedom will come when their sufferings will become my concern. Freedom will come when we will not think twice in boycotting them who abuse our brothers and sisters. And freedom will come when our hearts will unite and we help each other and empower each other. We have to continue our journey, be persistent, and not lose hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Let us unite for the sake of freedom. Insha'Allah, freedom will come. Insha'Allah, freedom will come. Insha'Allah, freedom will come. Jazakum Allah khair.
MashaAllah, and that was the sound, the voice of Saad Waleed from Kimberley Islamic School. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has emphatically advised us, I have left behind 2 things. If you cling to them, you will never ever go astray. That is the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the beautiful Sunnah lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our last participant in the grade 6 category of the 5th annual Northwest Free State and Northern Cape Islamic Speech Contest held in Kimberley is Muhammad Kolya, and he hails all the way from Welcome Muslim School, and he will be telling us about Sunnah in today's time.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قالوا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يأبى قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن أصاني فقد أبى. The Prophet Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, all my followers will enter paradise who except those who refuse. They said, O Messenger of Allah, who will refuse? He said, whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me is the one who refuses. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you. Today I will speak about Sunnah in today's time. We always hear the word Sunnah, but have we ever thought what it really means? It is the way that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. The way he walked, the way he spoke, the way he ate. And yes, we can also follow in his footsteps if we really want to. The companions of the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried their best to follow what their Prophet did, because they wanted to gain closeness to Allah. Today, do we call ourselves Muslims? Because we say, it's only a sunnah benefit shown to us by our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But instead, we look at it as a burden. May Allah forgive us. The Quran states, if you love Allah, then follow His Prophet. Allah will love you, forgive you, because He is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. There are a number of narrations in which the sunnah impact could be understood. The Prophet Rasulullah ﷺ said, whoever from my ummah holds fast to the sunnah at the time of corruption, he will get the reward of 100 martyrs. Imagine how lucky we are that Allah blesses us with the reward of 100 people who died in His footsteps just for practicing on one sunnah. So my brothers and sisters, let's make a firm intention to try our best to follow the sunnah footsteps which our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us, because it will help us in this world and in the year after. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah, Muhammad Kolya, and the entire grade 6 class. Alhamdulillah, we are now into our final grade and final category, category 4. Just as a reminder, category 4 there's only one grade, and that is the grade 7, and grade 7 are the boys in grade 7. Their time limit is 4 minutes to 4 minutes 30 seconds. Just once again, we just kindly ask everyone, especially the participants, to please be absolutely still while the speeches are on. Inshallah, very soon we will be, we'll be coming to the end of our program. So please be a little more patient, inshallah. Our first speaker in the grade 7 class is Ahmed Hansrod. And Ahmed comes from Welcome Muslim School, and his topic is Brave Soldiers of Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To my respected elders, friends and judges, the topic I will be speaking on today is Brave Soldiers of Islam. So as we know, there were many brave people in the history of Islam. But because of time, I'll only point out a few of them. Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu lost his father when he was 6 years old, but yet he offered to fight in the Battle of Badr, but was rejected due to tender age. And again, he volunteered for Uhud, but was rejected now for a second time. Look at the spirit of these young brave soldiers who are willing to give their lives for the deen. If you look back into the history of Islam, many young children wanted to give their lives for the deen, but were rejected due to young age. In the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, men used to strive in the path of Allah for a substantial amount of time, not even knowing when they will return, not even knowing when they greeted their families, not even knowing when they will return. It was if as they were never going to meet again. But in today's time, we go out in the path of Allah for 40 days, 4 months, and so forth. But yet we have set dates that inshallah I will live on this date, and inshallah I will see my family again on this date. Speaking about this, there's a story that comes to mind. One day, there was a very poor family, and the father wanted to go for Jamaat. So the youngest daughter told the father, "Daddy, you go, and Allah will provide for us." So the father went for Jamaat. 2 weeks has passed by, and the family has no food in the house. The biggest sister tells the younger sister, "Because of your big mouth, we all have no food now." The younger sister feels ashamed and down. She goes in her room and she makes dua. "Ya Allah, please provide for us. Ya Allah, look what has happened. Ya Allah, only you can provide for us." A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door. The girl runs towards the door and opens it. She finds the soldier, the king's soldier. The soldier asks the girl, "Can I have some water for the king?" The girl fetched the water and gave it to the soldier. The soldier gives it to the king. The king is drinking the water. He finds it so sweet. He told his soldier, "Take me to the house where you got this water from." When they reached there, the king threw some gold coins and told his soldiers, "If you love me, you will do the same." The family had many gold coins now. Allah had provided for this family because of a young brave girl who encouraged her father to go in the path of Allah. So my respected elders, just like all the brave soldiers of Islam, fought for Islam and turned to Allah, we should also try to do so. Remember, no wrong can come from turning to Allah, only good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the sabr and strength those sahabas had. Ameen. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
MashaAllah. Jazakumullah. Our second participant in this grade, Muhammad Raziq Bardai, from Kimley Islamic School, and the topic is benefits of dhikr.
Every day, we as spiritual beings dealing with the challenges of our physical life and transition on this earth require much motivation and solutions to cope. How sad is it that while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided all these solutions for us in the numerous acts of remembering Him, yet we fail to perceive and achieve these solutions or the state of inner peace that we so desperately seek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My topic for today is the benefits of dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 28 of the Holy Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Those that believe and his heart have peace in the remembrance of Allah, truly in the remembrance of Allah, your hearts find contentment. What is dhikr? Dhikr is to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to repeat any one of His names. The best dhikr is to say La ilaha illallah. Dhikr is the polish of the heart. It increases our iman and creates love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It helps us obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wipes away our sins. Dhikr is like watering the rose of iman in our hearts. Without water, the rose will slowly die. When a person makes dhikr, the angels surround him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy showers upon him. The beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him, I am as my servants think I am. I am with him when he makes mention of me. If he makes mention of me to himself, I make mention of him to myself. And if he makes mention of me in an assembly, I make mention of him in a better assembly. And if he draws near to me an arm's length, I draw near to him a fathom's length. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him at speed. Reported in Al-Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am with my slave when he remembers me, and when his lips move with my remembrance. Reported by Ibn Majah. Thawban radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of wealth is a tongue of dhikr, a grateful heart, and a believing wife who assists her husband on his deen. Reported by Imam Tirmidhi. Surah Baqarah verse 152 states, فَذَكُرُونِي أَذَكُرُكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. So remember me, I will remember you, and be grateful to me, and do not deny me. So how do we maintain a balance between our daily responsibilities and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, we try to find every moment at our disposal to turn our attention to a compassionate creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We reflect upon His most beautiful names and divine attributes. Our supplication and prayers during the day and our reflective moments throughout the night should glorify His magnificence and make us aware of Him at all times. Every breath, every heartbeat is a tribute to the power and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts always beat with the rhythm of dhikr, our tongues taste the sweetness of dhikr, and may we always remain nestled under the security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the blessings of dhikr. Inshallah, ameen. Jazakallahu khairan.
MashaAllah, jazakumullah, Muhammad Raziq. Normally, we announcements are made. Somebody has lost something. Please come and collect it at so and so place. Now we are asking, somebody has lost something. Please, if anybody has found a cell phone, I believe it's a yellow Samsung. Besides just a cell phone, anything that you find anywhere, people may have left something behind or something like that. Please immediately, as soon as you find something, take it to the tuck shop area. And inshallah, anybody who loses anything, then collect it from the tuck shop. It's found. Okay, it is found. So we'll take it there to the tuck shop, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Next participant, Yusuf Veli from Nurul Iman Muslim School, Rustenburg. And the topic is Neighbors in the Light of Islam.
My neighbor asked if he could use my lawnmower, and I told him, of course he could, as long as he didn't take it out of my garden. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My respected audience, neighbors in the light of Islam, be good to thy neighbor, be he Muslim or non-Muslim, religious or not, friends or enemies, who treat you well or not, relatives or strangers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that a neighbor is not just the one next door, but includes all those up to 40 houses in all directions, effectively an entire neighborhood. An Ansar once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that he purchased a house in a particular area and that his closest neighbor was such that he had no hope of any goodness from him and that he felt unsafe from his masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He is not a believer whose neighbor feels unsafe from his masjid." This concern for our neighbors can take many forms. It means to ensure that our neighbors have the basic necessities, for a Muslim should not eat if his neighbor is going hungry. Muslims should wish for their neighbors what they wish for themselves. They should not spy on them and respect their privacy, not to gossip about them and not to harm them in any way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told of a woman who prayed during the night and fasted a lot during the day and gave alms generously, but whose neighbors complained of her abusive tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that she would be in hellfire. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told of another woman who did not do all those extra acts of worship, but whose neighbors were happy with her, he said that she would be in paradise. Thus, we see the importance of being good to our neighbors, both in actions and words. The rights of a neighbor are to help him if he asks for your help, to lend him if he asks to borrow from you, to satisfy his needs if he becomes poor, to console him if he is visited by an affliction, to congratulate him if he is met with good fortune, to visit him if he becomes ill, to attend his funeral if he dies, not to make your house higher than his, lest you deny him the breeze, to offer him fruit when you buy some. In the times we are living in, I don't think that most people even know what their neighbors look like. I'm not joking. People today live like prisoners in their own homes. High gates and walls built around their abodes. Electric fences, laser beams, watchdogs, etc. are norms in our societies. People are too afraid to sit outside and relax. So how then do we socialize or even get to know our neighbors? It is not like before, when everyone knew the entire neighborhood by taking walks, relaxing their gardens, children playing endlessly outside without fear or high walls. The fast-paced world we are living in is another obstacle we face. Still, neighbors in the light of Islam is of utmost importance. Everyone should know the rights of his neighbor and fulfill them to the best of his abilities. We are all human beings and are in need of each other. Today you do good for someone, and tomorrow it will come back to you. Knowing the rewards of fulfilling your neighbor's rights should give you a push in the right direction. So first, let's make the effort to see who our neighbors are, then jump over the wall and attack them with kindness. Just kidding. Maybe you'll get shot at because of your neighbor mistaking you to be a criminal. Jokes aside, living in a neighborhood where you and your neighbors help each other, look out for each other, etc., has an immense benefit of creating a safer neighborhood. Therefore, it is a win-win situation. So next time your neighbor asks you to borrow your lawnmower from him, rather say something like, "Sure, anytime, no problem, neighbor." Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah, Yusuf Veli. Our fourth past participant in the grade sevens is Ammar Jiva from Al Huda Muslim School, Klerksdorp, and the topic is benefits of dhikr.
Assalamu alaikum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that everything has a polish, and the polish of the heart is the remembrance of Allah. And there is nothing that would save you from the punishment of Allah more than the remembrance of Allah. Dhikr is when one remembers Allah Ta'ala. A simple astaghfirullah has so many benefits. Asking Allah to forgive us brings beneficial rain, and not forgetting our sins wiped out. There are more than 100 benefits of dhikr. Today, I would like to share with you a few. By remembering Allah, we chase the shayateen away.
it will become easier for us to do good. Dhikr causes Allah to be pleased with us, and it makes us want to please Him more and more. Sadness and depression will be removed with dhikr. It makes one happy. Dhikr strengthens the body. When the ill make dhikr, they will notice they begin to feel better. Dhikr is a means to increase your rizq. Now that I have your attention, it will cause light, noor on the face. It will cause a person to taste the sweetness of iman. By remembering Allah, Allah will love you more. So you know how in a game we try to collect as many gold coins as possible. Dhikr is a way for us to collect as much reward as possible. So when our good deeds are weighed, it will outweigh the bad, inshallah. There are many different dhikrs to read. The simplest being Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and Astaghfirullah. By reciting any one of the 99 names of Allah is a form of dhikr also. The benefit of reading the Tasbih Fatimi after every Fard Salah is that whoever reads it will never be unfortunate and deprived. By reciting the fourth kalima 10 times after Fajr and Maghrib, the reciter will remain safe from satanic ideas during that day and night. And my favorite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read it abundantly, as dust is from the treasures of Jannah. Whoever reads this, Allah will remove 70 calamities from him, the lightest of which is poverty. It is a cure for 99 diseases, the lightest of which is worry. When anyone reads this, then Allah Ta'ala tells the angels that my servant has become obedient and has left all disobedience. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Miraj to tell the Ummah that they must expand the gardens of Jannah by reciting this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Juwayra radiallahu anha, who was busy in dhikr from Fajr to the forenoon period on a musalla, that after leaving you, I recited thrice four words. If it is weighed against all what you have recited, these four words will be more weighty. These words are, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, adada khalki, wa ridha nafsi, wa zinata arshi, wa midada kalimati. By reading Subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times, all our minor sins are forgiven, even if it is as much as the foam in a sea. Another tried and tested benefit is to make dhikr while in an argument. We all know how much that can save us. Our sins darken our heart. Dhikr cleans and polishes our heart. The similarity of one who remembers Allah and one who does not is like that of the living and the dead. Neglect in dhikr is starvation of the soul. May Allah make it easy for us to remember Him. Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah Ammar Jiva. Next up we have Rehan Ahmed Hassan of Madrasa Miftahul Ulum, Kimberley, and his topic is Brave Soldiers of Islam.
نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد. Every epic story has to have its share of heroes. Brave, courageous figures with steel in their veins and hearts for the faith and determination. Our very own Islamic history is filled with heroes of this high caliber. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My topic of discussion today is the brave soldiers of Islam. The stories of these heroes fill us with pride and awe. We aspire to their bravery and zeal. They are like bright shining stars in our history. They were men, but their faith and loyalty transformed them into legends of all times. Their names and titles bear testimony to a time gone by where men were known to raise a sword in one hand, control a horse with the other, and carve through the ranks of the enemy fighters. Their battle cry was, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," meaning Allah is the greatest, and they lived up to these words until their last breath. They were given such titles as Asadullah, the Lion of Allah, Saifullah, the Sword of Allah. And these are not names of ordinary men. These were Allah's chosen warriors for His deen, living up to their responsibilities with excellence. They are Zubair bin Awam, Khalid bin Walid, and Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. A warrior who was never reluctant in fighting and joining battles with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the bravest soldiers of Islam, Zubair bin Awam, a man of courage and strength. All his qualities, specifically his bravery and generosity, is what warranted him the glad tidings of Jannah. A commander of the Muslim army, he is our hero, our pride. His famous verses that used to be recited in the battlefield were, "I am the noble warrior. I am the sword of Allah. I am Khalid bin Walid." In having the distinction of being undefeated in over 100 battles, he is regarded as one of the world's finest military commanders in history. Known for liberating the holy city of Jerusalem, his unmatchable battle tactics and heroic statesmanship won him the respect of all. He was determined to bring justice, peace, and prosperity to those within his domain. Although he loved peace, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi became one of the world's greatest soldiers of Islam. Subhanallah, they were not fictional superheroes with flying capes and lasers shooting out of their eyes. These phenomenal warriors were real people like you and I. And just as the dust was trampled and dispersed under the hooves of their horses, charging into battle, so did our brave soldiers trample and disperse the enemies of Allah throughout the land. With bravery and determination, they accomplished the seemingly impossible. With strength of faith and tawakkul, they destroyed falsehood until the word of Allah was firmly planted in the land. Muslims, those were your righteous ancestors. They were held up in high esteem, and when they passed away, their spirit took flight to the blessed companionship of the most celebrated souls. O Allah, grant us the humbleness of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, the generosity of Zubair bin Awam, and the bravery of Khalid bin Walid. Barakallahu feek. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah, Rayhan. Next up we have Hisham Kana from Madrasa Islamia Freiburg, and his topic is Benefits of Dhikr. Ask everybody to please settle down quickly. Let's try and settle down before the speech commences.
The benefit of dhikr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, what is dhikr? Sounds like a cool word. Dhikr looks pretty neat in Arabic script. Dhikr, according to the book Fiqh al-Sunnah mentions that all words of praise and glory to Allah, extolling His perfect attributes of power and majesty, beauty and sublimeness, whether one utters them by tongue or says them silently in one's heart, are known as zikr or remembrance of Allah. Allah is so great. Every time I see the glittering stars in the sky, resembling diamonds and pearls, I call to mind the greatness of Allah. And every time I see the various creatures Allah has created, I reflect upon the greatness of Allah. The rainbow-colored parrots in the Amazon forest, and the birds, how they soar so high in the sky, only by the will of Allah. Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Alaq, Ayah 14-15, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَذَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Whoever purifies himself and remembers the name of his Lord, performs prayer, has achieved success. I have been given the chance to be able to work for paradise, shelter and clothing, having a mother and father, the ability to communicate with relatives and friends across the world, and the greatest blessing, the religion Allah has chosen for me, Islam. These are just some of the things Allah has blessed me with, and if I were to try and name and count them all, it would be impossible. Don't you agree that remembering Allah is the least you could do to acknowledge all the gifts and blessings He bestowed you with? Remembering Allah is the foundation of good deeds. The more you remember Allah, the closer you get to Him. You can see that our greatest example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, used to remember Allah at all times. So, you know dhikr is good, but what do you get in return for remembering Allah? Verily, the Muslims, men and women, who remember Allah much with their hearts and tongues, Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. The difference between one who makes dhikr and one who does not is well explained in this hadith. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, "The similitude of one who remembers the name of his Lord and one who does not is like that of the living and the dead." Dhikr keeps away shaitan and weakens his strength. It is the cause of Almighty Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. It relieves the mind from anxieties and worries. It produces joy and happiness in the heart. It strengthens the body and mind. Dhikr brightens the face and heart. It attracts one's sustenance. It cleanses the heart of its rust. It safeguards against pitfalls and lapses. Dhikr is a means of deliverance from Allah Ta'ala's punishment. These are only 10 of the many benefits of dhikr. Alright, so we know what dhikr means and why we should do it. Here are some more specific things you can say to remember Allah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, "I love repeating Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, more than all that the sun shines upon." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu also reported that the Messenger of Allah said, "He who recites after every prayer Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and completes the 100 with La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, will have all his sins pardoned, even if they may be as large as the foam on the surface of the sea." So next time you're waiting for a bus or walking to school, remember to think about the greatness of Allah. And remember Allah much, that you may be successful. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Hisham. Our last final speaker for today, not only in the grade 7s, but inshallah in our speech contest for today, is Faizan Parkar from Madrasa Jamia Islamia Mafikeng, and his topic is the future of our youth.
Assalamu alaikum. 1400 years ago, Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his final messenger to deliver his complete message. In this message, a way of life was written. A life, if followed accordingly, would grant us Jannah. Now we are in the 21st century, where the way of life has become so strange and lost, especially on many of our youth. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Qul hadhihi sabili," this is my path, he was giving us clear-cut directions on how to navigate our lives. But sadly, his hope and message has been eroded to a point of despair. Growing up as a Muslim is a mighty challenge. There are so many temptations all pulling us into another world. It is a constant tug of war between us and Shaitan. Youth are slowly losing their Islamic identity and values. A lot has changed through technology, through the views on life. There is a huge generation gap separating us. But has the teachings of the Quran changed? No! Then why the gap in the generations? I'm sure that most of the grown-ups here think that we are spoiled, brainwashed brats who are self-centered and have no manners. They can't be leaders of tomorrow. Now, how can a whole generation be called worthless when it is your generation who is raising us? Who is really at fault? Youth are a bridge between the past and the future. Whether the bridge is a shaky or a firm one, it all depends on the foundation on which it is built. Today, society has the power to make us do things we might not normally do. As kids, we are influenced by our peers to be cool and to fit in. But if we have a strong Islamic family structure, we will not stray. At home, though, the thought of any wrongdoing wouldn't even cross our minds. When my mother's rolling pin dangles in front of us, even Shaitan runs away. Family is one of the most important factors that contribute to a life of a child. It is said that a child's first education is a lap of a mother. They are the ones who have the most influence on the mind of a child. The environment in which you are raised in will impact on our future. Without our parents' guidance, we will walk a path of destruction. Parents need to be more involved in our lives. Not just provide things for us, but teach us to be the pioneers for Islam for tomorrow. We must be proud to be a Muslim youth. What the past generations thought impossible, we will make possible. Allah's message must become our destiny. But each of us has to take control of their destiny. We owe it to Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh, youth! The Quran has the code of principles to guide us. All we need to do is apply to it. Do the girls look at the non-Muslim girls and think, why can't we dress like them? Do the boys who want to party like their non-Muslim friends, change your mindset. Think how lucky you are to be dressed modestly. Think how lucky you are to be going for Salah. Allah chose Islam for us, and we are sent here for a purpose. I think that the Muslim youth will revolutionize the future. We will be the role models of tomorrow. We will show the world that Islam is the gift that Allah bestowed upon us, and we will serve it best in our youth. But the only way to do that is to fear Allah as He should be feared. Don't die beside a Muslim. Hold fast onto the rope of Allah and do not be divided. In this way, the Quran will become our guiding light now and forever. Jazakumullah.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah Faizan and the rest of the grade sevens. Alhamdulillah, we have now come to the end of the speech contest. There's still a few speeches left, but it's not part of the contest. We can start stretching for the excitement that is to come, inshallah. You have a few minutes. In that few minutes, inshallah, we will call upon Maulana Zakir Sahib, inshallah, to recite a naat. And then there's still the chief adjudicator's report after the Naat, inshallah.
Knowledge. The distinction of humanity is fortified by the Indonesia Muslim Association, which educates more than 2,200 learners in primary deen, equipping the Muslim child to be safe from harmful spiritual, moral, and social elements. Earn Thawabi Jariya by educating a learner at 250 rand per month or part thereof. 5 in a day in the Elimitan will keep Islam alive in our children.
Rajiv, we need to talk. Mm-hmm. Things are tough, very tough. So, the golf is going to go,
what?
And the trip to Durban, and we're going to have a change of eating habits. But there is good news, Rajiv.
Mm-hmm.
Here, King's Basmati rice. For what it costs for the 5 kg pack, it's the best value for money. So we don't have to give up our basmati.
King's Select Basmati. Who needs golf anyway?
Fruit and Veg City Indonesia has the following specials. Combo 2 kg potatoes plus 2 kg onions plus flip pack carrots plus 2 kg gems, all for 70 rand. Avos 3 for 25 rand. Grape tubs 2 for 30 rand. Ignite briquettes 3 for 100 rand. La Belinda chopped or peeled tomatoes 400 grams 3 for 25 rand. Fat Cook 3 for 10 rand. The Food Lovers Market opposite the Trade Route Mall.
Africa.
Have you helped quench the thirst of your Muslim brother? Sponsor a water well for only 9,500 rands in Africa, or a borehole for just 40,000 rands as a means of sadaqa jariya for a deceased loved one. Africa Muslims Agency has built over 15,000 water wells and boreholes in Africa. Special monthly payments can be arranged to suit you. Contact Africa Muslims Agency now on 011-834-8685 or donate online at Africa Muslims Agency at co.za. Africa Muslims Agency, the agency that cares.
New refreshing summer menu at Mug and Bean on the move at Total Constantia Kloof. Come and try our new power smoothies, bagels, gluten-free giant muffins, our exclusive green tea, and much more. Visit us at corner June Fischer and Wilhelmina Road off Hendrik Potgieter Road, Constantia Kloof. We are Senna approved. Open 24 hours for your convenience. Telephone number 011-675-2599. New refreshing summer menu at Mug and Bean on the move at Total Constantia Kloof. Come and try our new power smoothies, bagels, gluten-free giant muffins, our exclusive green tea, and much more. Visit us at corner June Fischer and Wilhelmina Road off Hendrik Potgieter Road, Constantia Kloof. We are Senna approved. Open 24 hours for your convenience. Telephone number 011-675-2599.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. On the authority of Abi Huraira, Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhs, may Allah be pleased with them both, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, what I have forbidden to you, avoid, and what I have ordered you to do, do as much of it as you can. The destruction of those nations before you was only due to their excessive questioning and their disagreeing with their prophets, related by Al-Bukhari.
Do you have a flair for drama? How would you like to be a part of the Muslim Arts Initiative? Radio Islam is looking for talented individuals aged 18 and upwards who would like to be the voices of the Ramadan series. Contact Maulana Ibrahim Pirani on 011-854-7022 for further details. Ramadan promises to be a unique experience. Be a part of the inspiration.
It's back.
Celebrate Durban's sun-kissed days and starlit nights at the Hartley Fair. It's where you've got to be. For incredible shopping, unusual gifts, exquisite Islamic wear, trendy fashion, exotic foods, and decadent desserts. Showcasing an array of 250 local and international exhibitors for the discerning shopper. Wait, there's more. Spectacular live entertainment. Laugh your socks off with Simi Yaref, Yusuf Kedu, and Zahir Bassa, and a host of nasheeds, fire shows, soccer tricksters, and amazing kiddies rides and games. Be where it's all happening and win amazing prizes and loads of giveaways. Saturday, April 30th, Sunday, May 1st, and Monday, May 2nd, the Hartley Fair, 133 Hartley Road, Overport. Inquiries 031-207-3498.
This live broadcast is sponsored by MZ Birthday Associates and Attorneys, Notaries and Conveyancers, and Administrators of Estate 13, Belgravia Road, Suite Number 3, Climo House, Athlone. Contact 021-697-8610.
Mustafa aaye bahar andar bahar aaye zameen ko chumne jannat se khushboo bar bar aaye.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah, Malana Zakir, for that beautiful Naat recitation. InshaAllah, we will now call upon our chief adjudicator, Ibrahim Bhai Gangad, to give us some input and advice, a summary or a report from your side, inshaAllah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم ما أصبح بي من نعمة أو بأحد من خلقك فمنك وحدك لا شريك لك فلك الحمد ولك الشكر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Honorable ulama ikram, my respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, and you'll all agree with me, I think the brave soldiers of the deen of Allah Ta'ala in today's time, our young learners, 65 of them from 11 different institutions that stood up here on this stage and provided you with such wonderful content and beautiful skills of presentation. In the United States of America, who maybe the rest of the world sometimes look at as a guideline or maybe a place that is advanced technologically, in whatever way you want to analyze the USA, a question was posed that what is the most feared thing you have in your life from amongst the rest of the people living there? And one of the things that came up from the first three was to stand up in public and to speak. So these young gladiators who were here, or these young mujahideen, if we need to call them correctly, stood up here, both boys and girls, to speak to us today. Allah reward them abundantly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And also for us to be able to listen to them. Before we just talk about some of the issues pertaining to the speech itself, it took a lot of time and it took a lot of men, hours, and people for preparation. If you count the number of learners that stood up here, 65, if you count each involvement of each person, it's perhaps one ustad, maybe two parents, maybe a younger brother and sister at home. So at least close to about 300 or 400 people were involved in preparation of the speech contest today, helping in some way or the other, either listening to the person's speech, helping him write the speech, editing and correcting the speech. So a lot of men hours went in here. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we look at some of the things that happened today here, and we start off by saying, okay, fine. We always need to promote with good motivation what happens here. The quality of the speeches were excellent. When we listen to a speech, we listen to the content. The content of the speech now, I can't say, me and Molana, my colleague Molana Suhaib Lasania from Radio Islam was sitting with me. Now we don't want to say it's unfortunate. We were forced to listen to every single speech. If your mind wandered somewhere for a moment in time, or you were thinking about somebody or putting out a message, whatever you were doing, you got distracted. We couldn't be distracted. We had to watch and see everything. What were we looking for? We were listening for content. We were listening for how the ideas were developed. We were seeing how the start was being done, the attention grabbing, the logical flow of ideas, the summary of the conclusions. Then we came to the presence of the speaker there, his eye contact, and then his voice pitch, his voice variety and volume, and how he basically handled this, his enunciation, his pronunciation. A whole lot of things put together actually make up our adjudication. Archie, I'm off. Archie is our sound engineer, if you don't know. Say thank you to him before you leave. Excellent job he's done for today. Thanks, Archie. And then we did all of this. So at the end of the day, it was an amanat upon our shoulders. And we beg of Allah Ta'ala, asking Allah to forgive us if any way we went wrong. But we tried our level best to bring in the best in terms of our adjudication of the learners. So Allah's fadl and karam, we find the standard was pretty high in terms of the content and so forth. There was a subtle differentiation on certain issues pertaining to the presentation skills and so forth. But Allah reward us. I just want to mention to you, you know, I did a course in speech and preparation and presentation, a course which is very popular in South Africa. It's called the Toastmasters course. And when I did my last speech, at the end of the day, I had three adjudicators from outside in Johannesburg, one of the major clubs that came there, and they came to adjudicate. And my topic that day was the role of women in Islam. That was a topic with a big non-Muslim audience. And Allah's fadl and karam, nothing to do with us, Allah's fadl and karam, for that speech I got a standing ovation. And for the Quranic ayats I quoted, I gave away 12 Qurans that night, English Qurans, which was a request from the audience. Meaning that it was successful in a sense it became an exercise of dawah. And this is exactly what we were searching for today from these kids. Best of zikr, social media and Islam, the brave soldiers, why my mommy says no. All of that, there was elements of dawah. So our speech contest, the Islamic speech contest, is an exercise with a strong element of dawah. So when we leave from here, inshallah, one single practice, Allah Ta'ala will reward us. How to care for neighbors. How many different themes you heard today. Allah reward them abundantly for preparation. And it was time well spent. Today we spend time with the mercies of Allah Ta'ala, because what we heard in every speech was, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Hadith. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran. Each one of them was governed by those two very powerful messages. So inshallah, we thank Allah Ta'ala for this. As Morana and the committee has mentioned, want to improvise on this and give the ideas as to what you want to. The entire country was listening to together with Kimberley today as it went out live on Radio Islam International. And people from all over various provinces were sitting and tuning in, listening to our kids as they came across, inshallah. Like a battlefield of a mujahideen of the battles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we give that analogy that everyone is a winner. If you had been killed on the battlefield, you are a shaheed. If you came back, you are victorious. So if you take a mujahideen going out on the battlefield, in both instances, he's victorious. Every single child, whether they receive an award or no award today, has been victorious when they came onto this podium to stand up and to give and deliver that speech. So from my side as adjudicated by Seven Morana Saab, we thoroughly enjoyed the day. It was very exciting. Alhamdulillah, we learned a lot. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to just increase it from here, inshallah, for our kids. Very, very well done. MashaAllah, continue doing all that you are doing. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah, Ibrahim Bhai. There's always something like patkos. We're all going very, very far from Kimberley. All Kimberley residents, please don't go and buy now from the tuck shop. Everything is going to be at a reduced price. Save it for the visitors, please. Akni 2 for 50 Rand. Cook Sisters 6 for 10 Rand. Samosa 6 for 10 Rand. There's a lost ring found in the ladies' bathroom. Contact the tuck shop. Please, people, whatever is prepared, inshallah, we want to clear it. You will be spending, it will be money well spent, inshallah, you will enjoy it on your way back home. Please go to the tuck shop and support the tuck shop, inshallah, and clear the stock from there. A podcast of this entire program, of the entire speech contest, is available on the Radio Islam website, www.radioislam.co.za. It can be downloaded from there, inshallah. We are now going to do the awards for the participating schools and madaris. All the principals, the staffs, staff members who are the responsible people for the different schools, etc., you will be called upon. Maulana Abdullah Manti Sahab from the Northwest Speech Contest Committee, you can you may come forward, inshallah. Accompanying Maulana Abdullah Manti will be Hassan Bhai Halliday from Kimberley. While we are doing the schools and madaris, all the participants from grade 1, you can start, inshallah, the ushers can get you into your grades, because you will be called upon on the stage, inshallah, to come and receive your medals, your certificates, etc. Participating schools can come forward. Al-Huda Muslim School, Klerksdorp. Principals or the responsible staff members to come and collect. Madrasa Islamia Freiburg. Madrasa Islamia Kronstadt. Welcome Muslim School. Kimberley Islamic School. Madrasa Miftahul Ulum Kimberley.
Your colleague.
Madrasa Ansarul Islam Potchefstroom. Mulan Abdullah Sahib will collect it. Nurul Iman Muslim School, Rustenburg. Madrasa Arabiya Islamia Lichtenberg and Darul Arqam Islamic School Lichtenberg. How can Mafeking forget that diamond?
I'm coming for it, man.
And Madrasa Jamia Islamia Mafeking. Jazakallah, Maulana Abdullah Sahab and Hassan Bhai Sahab. This was the awards for the participating schools and madaris.
We will now call upon the Brother Yasin Bhai to come and hand over the gifts and the awards for the adjudicators. Amin Bhai Aysen can also accompany Yasin Bhai. Ibrahim Bhai, you can. Ibrahim Bhai Gangat is one of our adjudicators, and Mala Suhaib Lasagna.
It's a right one.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Now on to our main part of the afternoon session is the final positions. As I call out the names, all the participants, will you come onto the stage to collect your certificates and your medals? Amara Susiwala from Al Huda Muslim School, Klerksdorp. Malna Abdullah Sab, you can come onto the stage. Amara Susiwala, Khadija Vahora, Zahra Sheiknag, Unaisa Ismail, Bidya Kambula, Niaz Aysen, Suhail Bulbulia, Shehnaz Lavangi, and Muhammad Sadiq Abdul Mullah. Grade 1s, you can stand here on the side on the stage, all the grade 1 participants. Don't go down, collect your certificates and medals and just stand on the stage. The first, second, third position certificates, can they please come onto the stage? Can you be brought to the stage? Suhail Bulbulia. Okay, now we are going to do the first positions, I mean the final positions for grade 1, category 1. third position in grade 1, Shehnaz Lavangi from Miftahul Ulum Kimberley, mashallah. Second position in grade 1, Unaisa Ismail, Madrasa Ansarul Islam, Potchefstroom, mashallah. And first position in grade 1, Niaz Aysen, Kimberley Islamic School, mashallah. Inshallah, let us, instead of using our hands, let's rather say nicely, mashallah, to congratulate our learners, inshallah. That completes the grade 1s. We will now call upon the grade 2 learners. Yahya Ajam from Madrasa Arabiya Islamia Lichtenberg. Aisha Barday, Kimberley Islamic School. Atiya Mullabai, Madrasa Islamia Kruenstad. Zayan Nakuda, Madrasa Ansarul Islam Potchefstroom. Khadija Patel, Darul Arqam Islamic School Lichtenberg. Abdullah bin Mas'ud Muhammad, Nurul Iman Muslim School Rustenburg. Sahal Dawray, Madrasa Miftahul Ulum Kimberley. Aisha Dabuda, Welcome Muslim School. Muaz Rawat, Al Huda Muslim School, Klerksdorp. Uzair Sayyid, Madrasa Jamia Islamia Mafeking. Okay, now the third, second, and first position in grade 2. Third position, Muaz Rawat, Al Huda Muslim School, Klerksdorp. MashaAllah. Second position, Sahal Dawray, Miftahul Ulum Kimberley. MashaAllah. And first position goes to Aisha Barday, Kimberley Islamic School, mashallah. All the diamonds in Kimberley. Eh? Mashallah, great tools. Jazakumullahu khair. Grade 3 participants, will now call upon Brother Yasin Belli on stage. And accompanying Brother Yasin will be Ismail Bai Akarwari. Grade 3 participants, Muhammad Salim Mangera. Faizan Kader, Telkom Muslim School. Nasif Mukri, Madrasa Miftahul Ulum Kimberley. Salman Baba, Al-Huda Muslim School, Klagsdorp. Nabiha Ali, Nurul Iman Muslim School, Rustenburg. Fatima Jogi, Darul Arqam Islamic School, Lichtenberg. Muhammad Baruka, Kimberley Islamic School. Farhan Ghani, Madrasa Ansarul Islam, Potchefstroom. Maryam Ahmed, Madrasa Arabiya Islamia, Lichtenberg.